Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
There we go. Hey, how about that? Okay, as I mentioned earlier, we are excited to have Scott Jackson with us this morning. He brought like a lot of cool things with him up there, which is really fun kind of element to add to our worship this morning. Scott not only is the station manager at Life 100.3, but he's also the founder of Life 100.3, and they are on year 21. I believe last year was the 20th anniversary, so excited for what the next 20 brings. So will you help me in welcoming Scott this morning?
Well, good morning. It's nice to be back. It almost feels like home. I've been here so many times, and I recognize many faces, and I even know many names, so that's kind of cool. I'm actually a little bit nervous. See, radio people are used to talking in a booth to nobody except the people out in radio land, so the microphone is like my friend. It's like a little kid with their teddy bear, and then we feel comforted. So the microphone is here. The microphone is my friend. Everything will be fine, hopefully. I'm originally from Toronto. My wife is here this morning. Janice, when I wave, there she's over there. We met when we were in grade 7. Come on. Grade 7, for crying out loud. Thank you. We have two grown children. Our daughter, Crystal, works with us at Life 100.3. She works as the promotions manager. And our son, Brett, lives in Seattle, and he's a music producer full-time. And I play percussion at church whenever I can, and I like all the different noises, and I can go to my grandkids' place and steal their toys and then bring them to church, and it's kind of fun. In my spare time, I manage two national recording artists, and I'll talk about them right now. First one is Luke Langman. I'm sure many of you are friends with Luke, know him from Elmvale. He's a full-time farmer, and he also records. He's had 4 albums out. He's open for a number of popular Christian Canadian artists like The Color and Sky Terminal, John Neufeld. Last year we went to Nashville, which was kind of a big deal going to Nashville, and we recorded a song called Can't Escape, which was number one across Canada on all the Christian radio stations, so that was pretty cool. So I manage him, and from time to time I play percussion for him. The other artist is Tom Rowe, and Tom is from Mississauga Beach. Tom is a country gospel recording artist, and the interesting thing about Tom is that he's 72 this year, and up until a couple of years ago, he had never been in a recording studio. He had never recorded a song. He had never had a song on the radio. And it's just kind of cool how God brought Tom and me and Life 100.3 together, and we put him in the studio, recorded. This is the cover of the album that you see here, recorded in Kitchener. He's been nominated for 5 Covenant Awards by the Gospel Music Association, so that's pretty cool. It's nice to be nominated. It doesn't matter if you win, right? It's just nice to be nominated. Who's kidding you? Of course he wants to win. It'd be more fun to win. So he's getting some recognition that way. And Tom plays in retirement homes across central Ontario, from many places here in Aurelia, in Barrie, in Newmarket, in Mississauga Beach, in Collingwood. We go to Parry Sound, and I'm his regular percussionist, so we're really busy during the week. So that keeps us kind of busy. The other thing I did a couple years ago was I wrote a book, and it's called Herding Kittens, and it's my story of managing a Christian rock band called Anthem for Today, who were really popular about 3 years ago. So this is my story, my journey with them. It's not like a tell-all thing. It's just the memories that I have, the good memories of being on the road and being in the studio and so on. And I called it Herding Kittens because somebody gave me the name. He said, when you're working with 20-year-olds, sometimes it's kind of awkward. Like, okay, guys, it's showtime. We're going on the stage now. Let's go. Come on. Guys, we're going, let's go. And like trying to get them together is like trying to herd kittens. So it seemed like a really good title called Herding Kittens. And now Luke wants me to write a book about him, and he wants to call it Herding Chickens because he's a chicken farmer. Boy. So Life 100.3 celebrated 20 years last summer. That's crazy. Did you say another 20 years? Yeah, it's been a great 20 years in our 21st year right now. All right, I brought a video along. This takes us behind the scenes. If you've never been in a radio station, then you'll see what it's like. You'll also see why radio people work in radio and not in television. And I've shown videos here before. I didn't bring the same one. I wouldn't do that to you guys. This is a brand new video, so let's watch it now.
Baby, if you ever wake up tired, but you're ready to start your day, just tune your radio to my favorite station, Christian Radio Life 100.3. At Life 100.3 every morning.
Two minutes to launch. Mark.
Well, good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock, Sunday, August 15th, 1999. Broadcasting at 1800 watts from Edgar, Ontario, Canada. This is CJLF, owned and operated by Trust Communications Ministries.
Starting life back in 1999, wow, let me think, that was a while ago. For me, it just seemed like a natural idea because I love radio. My experience up until then was 20 years at different radio stations, and combining my faith and my experience seemed like the right thing to do.
60 seconds to launch. Transmitter check. Transmitter, go.
I went and spoke at CBMC in Barrie. That's where the Christian business guys meet for lunch and share ideas. And I shared my amazing idea of starting a Christian radio station, but that was a bit disappointing. A lot of people just want to wait and see, right? They don't believe you. And when you're an entrepreneur, that can be really discouraging when people don't see your vision and don't get excited with you.
Stand by to launch Christian Radio 100.3.
I remember I was at a business luncheon one time, and the guy next to me said, "So you're going to start a Christian radio station, are you?"
9, 8, 7, 6.
And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "That'll be a tough nut to crack."
2, 1.
Hey there, I'm Steve Bradley, Ministry Relations Director at Life 100.3. Recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with Pastor Rick Buck about the impact that life has had on his life personally and the life of his congregation.
The longer you have something, the more you can take it for granted. Mm-hmm. I think the same is true for Christian radio. We've had it for 2 decades, and it'd be easy to get comfortable and, you know, just kind of cruise and say, "Hey, you know, it's doing fine. It's great. They don't need me." But I think to remain full of gratitude and respond to say, we are a privileged community to have this here in our community, and let's get involved whatever way we can. Through the years, I've just heard so many different stories from people, you know, whether it's been the music, you know, a song that's come on the radio that's touched a heart and, you know, brought someone to tears, to a place of encouragement. Yep. To have that constant voice throughout the day, anytime you need to turn on Life 100.3 and you get an opportunity to think God's thoughts after him, to think on things that are true and beautiful and excellent, you know, trustworthy, as Philippians 4 talks about. And I love that about Christian radio.
Hey, I'm David Mann, host of The Afternoons. As your Christian radio station, we are so committed to serving you, and we realize that our primary audience is you at church. Each year, we visit about 50 churches on Sundays, just like this one. It's a great opportunity to bring the excitement of our station to meet you, and it's always a bonus when we get to hear stories about how you've been impacted by the ministry of Life 100.3.
There's been several moments in my journey as a pastor where you get discouraged and you get down. And I remember this one particular program that was being played. by Charles Stanley, and he was talking about grace and talking about mercy in a particular message that he was preaching. And I was just feeling so down that day, and his message absolutely inspired me. It encouraged me. It gave me just a tremendous amount of hope that day.
The best thing for me about listening to Life is that I constantly have such encouraging and uplifting spiritual food that nourishes my soul and helps me stay focused on God's truth for my life. I can't imagine going through my life without Life.
I'm Crystal Martin from the Life 100.3 Promotions Department. Life 100.3 is both a radio station and a ministry. We're a radio station with great music, weather and traffic reports, and fun contests and concerts. You can be entertained and informed, but that's not our mission. Our mission and what makes us different from other radio stations is pointing people to Jesus. When we're on location at events all across Central Ontario, we bring fun merch, which can be a great conversation starter, but also free Bibles for people who don't have one. When we have a concert, the artist shares why Jesus is so important in their life. And our contests? Well, those are mostly for fun, but if people listen to win a prize, they'll keep listening and they'll hear music that points back to Jesus.
It is humbling to think that God has been able to use Life 100.3 to change lives simply because someone heard a song on the radio, or a challenging sermon from one of our teaching programs, or they were listening to a DJ read the Word of Life and heard a Bible verse they needed to hear. These situations don't happen once in a while. They happen every day. When you support Life 100.3, you're helping us reach that next person with the song they need to hear. It is an honor to be an extension of your ministry. When you support Life 100.3, you help us reach people you may not have the ability to reach yourself. Thank you for entrusting us with that responsibility.
It's really overwhelming to see what God has done over 20 years. Just sitting here watching that video, it's just overwhelming. Well, I don't know if you've noticed this, if anybody here is getting older or not, but as you get older, sometimes you mellow with age, and things don't bother you as much as they used to. And then sometimes you just get more irritable with the same things that bother you. And for me, it kind of depends on how I wake up in the morning, whether I'm going to be more mellow or irritable. You can decide at the end of this message. It's called Always Be Prepared, and maybe before we get into it, maybe we should pray about it. Maybe I should pray about it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this message that you put on my heart. And if I lose it and I get confused up here, I pray you would put the words in the right order so they make some sort of sense. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's a very popular pastor. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. His name is Mike Bells. You have heard of him. That's great. And so he posted on Facebook about a year ago this message, and it impacted me so much that I put it into this message I'm giving this morning, and I've given it at probably a dozen different churches. I just love this. So let's read it. It says, "We are in a war between dullness and astonishment. The most critical issue facing Christians is not abortion, pornography, the disintegration of the family, moral absolute, MTV, drugs, racism, sexuality, or school prayer. The critical issue today is dullness. We have lost our astonishment. The good news is no longer good news. It's okay news. Christianity is no longer life-changing. It's life-enhancing. Jesus doesn't change people into wild-eyed radicals anymore. He changes them into nice people." Sometimes I think that that's true. And I feel guilty. I just don't know many people who are excited and astonished about their faith or excited about their salvation. So what is salvation? What did he save us from anyway? He saved us from hell, right? That's what we're saved from going to. The fiery pit of hell that is a never-ending torment. There's no sleep, although sometimes I feel that way here. There's no darkness. It's a place without God with the whining and gnashing of teeth. That's what it says in the Bible. Do we believe that? I don't know if we do, because if we did, I don't think we'd be sitting here. We'd be like rushing out and telling all of our friends that there's a real place called hell. Jesus died so that we don't have to go to hell. He has saved us from hell, and he's sending us to heaven. That's good. Is this thing on? Hello. That's good news, right? All right. Praise God for that. My goodness. I love all kinds of music, and so I love the Rolling Stones, and I know they don't have the same eternal salvation where they're going. They're not going to the same destination that I'm going to, at least as far as I know. and I would probably be the first to know. I grew up in the 70s, and so I liked their music, and one of the things on my bucket list is I wanted to say hi to Mick Jagger. I didn't care about an interview. I just wanted to say hello. That was a big deal to me. So when they announced that they were coming to this area, to Oro, last summer, I thought, now's my chance, because I'm local media, so I can get my name in there and I can get accreditation and I can get backstage, and like all that didn't happen. I did get backstage, but I didn't get to meet Mick Jagger. So I think, forget that on the bucket list, it's probably not going to happen. But when I get to heaven, it's going to be 100 times better than what I think meeting a rock star would be like. And as we try to grasp what heaven will be like, there's just, I don't think there's any words that really describe it, although we tend to say it's going to be awesome. Awesome. It seems like such a cheap word that, like, it minimalizes everything that God is when we say he's going to be awesome. Heaven in all of its incredibleness. And we're going to wake up every morning, if we go to sleep at all. We wake up in the morning and God's going to blow our minds with his awesomeness, because his awesomeness goes on forever. He never ends. And so he will blow our minds every single day, forever. And we say, it's going to be awesome. Do we really believe that we're going to heaven? We do. We believe that we're going to heaven. But if we really believe that we're going to this, like, awesome place, then why are we such dull people? Like, what's wrong with us? We are full of dullness. I think we get it academically, but maybe it's not really in our spirits, and we have to, like, meditate on this and think about it, and I just think we don't get it. Okay, but so let's say we believe it. We believe that we're going to heaven. So why don't we tell people? What's wrong with us? When was the last time that you led somebody to the Lord? And what does that mean, leading somebody to the Lord? It's like telling them about God. That's what it is. God, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the answer to our prayers. He's the answer to everything. He's our healer. He's our provider. He's, we say, the lover of our souls. So we tell people about God, and we tell them, this is what he's done in our life. This is how I'm different now that I've become a Christian. And then in our next life, this is where I'm going. I don't know if you're coming with me, but this is where I'm going. And so that's what we can tell people about if we were excited, and if we were astonished and amazed. But instead, we tell people about the movie that we saw, the new Star Wars movie. I don't know if it was any good. I didn't see it or not, but a lot of people saw Star Wars. We tell them about the hockey game. By the way, the Leafs won last night, right? I heard that they won. We talk about the hockey game. I tell people about these kind of cool shoes that they got on the internet. but we don't tell them about our salvation, that is like the most important thing in our lives. You know, there are people who have never led somebody to Jesus. Well, I plant the seeds and somebody else does the watering. It's like, give me a break. I just find that to be such a feeble excuse. Maybe people are too lazy to share their faith. Or maybe they don't know how. Maybe they really don't know how to put it into words and to share their faith. You know, the Bible says to always have an answer. Look at this. 1 Peter 3:15. You got it up? There we go. Look at this. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So what's your excuse? You can't because why? I mean, the Bible commands it. It says always, always be prepared. Not if it's convenient. Maybe if you don't know how to share your faith, maybe you need to learn to do that. I'm going to use this cliche, and I hate this cliche. I can't believe I'm going to use it, but it's really true. If your best friend was dying of cancer and you knew the cure, would you tell them? Of course you would tell them. Or would you not tell them and say, well, I don't want to bother the doctors too much. I know the answer, but I don't want to get in the way. Would you do that? And then they pass away. You know what? We're all going to die anyway. So why don't we take our friends with us to heaven? Our best friends, our parents, our kids, our neighbors. Have you told your mom and dad? Have you told your neighbor about the hope that you have? Have you had a chance to do that yet? If you were really excited, I think you'd get up and you just leave. Well, don't do that, because it's a really good message. But after the message, just like, whoo, go out and tell everyone. But I know, it takes confidence, right, to share your faith. It takes confidence. And if you're shy, then that's really hard to do for some people. Okay, so if I had gone to Bible school, which I didn't, obviously. But if I had, I would give you the 3 points, because you're dealing with 1, 2, 3 points when you go to Bible study. Number one, you need to know what the Bible says. If you don't know what the Bible says, then you can't really talk about your faith or the Bible. Number two, you have to have a personal story. And if you're a Christian, that means that God has reached down into your life and he has saved you from going to hell. You've got a story to tell. It doesn't have to be full of drugs or alcohol or like something shocking, but everybody has got a story, and we call it a testimony. And number three, you have to be convincing. Because if you're going to reach into somebody's life, you have to sound believable, and so you need to practice your testimony so that you can pull it out whenever you need to. Well, I don't really have the personality to do that. I'm not a public speaker. Listen, your friends and my friends are going to go to hell if we don't tell them what we know. I know that sounds kind of shocking, and maybe I'm being a straight shooter, and maybe I'm kind of cranky on this day. I don't know, but I think that this is like the truth that we want to tell people. That's why we're here. Jesus is the center of our lives. Why don't we tell everybody? You know, it's really hard to evangelize your parents. Oh, my goodness. This is like one of the hardest things. I remember The Passion of the Christ had just come out, and I'm with my dad, and we're sitting in the car, and I can just like and just feel my dad's presence beside me. And I said, you know, Jesus could have just like jumped off the cross and said, I'm not doing this. This is too much. It's not worth it. I'm not doing it. God, take me away from this. And he could have done it. He could have jumped right off. And my dad said, well, if you believe that stuff. And my heart just went like, oh, my dad doesn't believe any of this stuff. And I said, do you believe in Jesus? And he says, I believe that Jesus was a real person. And he said, but he says, I think he caused a lot of trouble wherever he went. He was a bad guy. He was a bad guy. Well, there was a lot of trouble wherever he went. And I shared with my dad many years later, but he finally rejected Christ, and then he passed away. Well, Janice and I have been Christians for like almost 30 years. And so you know when you're a brand new Christian, you're all excited and you got to share with people what you know, even though you know about this much, but you have to tell everybody about this good news, which is great. So she's with her mom, and she went out to lunch with her mom one day, and she told her mom, and she said, Scott and I, we decided to become Christians. And her mom said, oh no, not you as well. And Janice's enthusiasm kind of went, and she just left it. She didn't talk about it again for years and years. A couple of years ago, her mom was on her deathbed in Toronto. So Janice went to see her mom. And I said to Janice, are you going to share one more time God with her? And she said, I'm going to try. So there they are. I wasn't there, so I should probably give the microphone to her. And so Janice asked her something about, do you believe in God? And Janice told me that her mother did this. She closed her eyes and she turned her head the other way. And then she passed away. That really hurts. My dad, her mom. Ultimately, it was their choice. I mean, we tried. We shared our faith like we're supposed to do. At least we presented the choice. That's what we have to do, is present that. I wonder when we get to heaven, when I get there, and God's going to be like looking up my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay, Scott Jackson. Okay, there is. And he's going to say, so why should I let you in? And I'm going to be, well, I started this really cool radio station a long time ago, and we have 65,000 people that are listening every week according to the ratings, and the street team has like been to like 2,900 different events, and God's going to go, uh-huh, that's just stuff. And I'm going to say, well, I led some people to Jesus, and I helped homeless people get beds, and like I helped my wife at home. I've become a good husband, finally. like I didn't go into debt. Well, I went into debt, but I got out of debt. Like I've taken a pay cut, and like God's going to go, so what? That's just stuff. I'm going to go, and then Jesus is going to be over here going, that's okay. He's with me. I'm going to, yeah, I'm with him. And I crash the threshold, and I get into heaven. And just as I'm going into heaven's door, God's going to tap me on the shoulder and say, so who did you bring with you? Wow, that's what he's going to say to you too, I think. Who did you bring with you? Always be prepared to have an answer. If you've never led somebody to the Lord, you are keeping the greatest secret of your life, the greatest secret in history, to yourself. And if you don't know how to lead someone to the Lord, then find out. Take an alpha course. Talk to like the people that have been playing on stage or Pastor Mike, and they'll tell you how to do that. There is nothing more important than sharing with somebody how to not go to hell. Would you agree? That's a good place for an amen. All right, good deal. So you become a Christian, and people are watching you. They're always watching us, right? They're watching to see if we're nice, if we respond in a Christian way. Are we generous? Are we kind? Are we slow to anger? Or do they see Christ in us? And sometimes we can be really lousy examples of being a Christian. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:20 that we are His ambassadors. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. An ambassador. So you know what an ambassador is, right? It's like a delegate that gets all dressed up in a fancy uniform and goes overseas to foreign countries to represent our country. Well, that's what we are on behalf of Christ. We are His ambassadors. And sometimes we can be such lousy examples. Forget about the person next to you. Like, we can be really lousy examples. You know, sometimes I think on my very best day, sometimes I do okay. But I've got so many character flaws that would make me be a lousy ambassador. I just have to keep encouraging myself. Come on, you can do this. I've led a couple of people to Christ. I'll tell you a couple of examples because they're really fun to celebrate. Janice and I took a couple out for dinner. He was a born-again Catholic. She was deeply in love with him. She was just infatuated with him. And they went to church. They raised their four boys in a Christian home. And so I knew his testimony, and I asked her, like, so what's your story? And she said, well, I don't really have a story. And I said, well, are you a Christian? She said, well, yeah. And I said, do you remember when you gave your life to Christ? And she said, no, I don't really remember. I said, wasn't there like a moment of change? A lot of people have a moment that they can remember. Not everybody does. And she said, no, I don't really remember that. And I looked at her husband and I said, okay. And he says, okay. So by the time we finished our salads, she had a story and she knew what her story was. And I led her to the Lord officially. Another time I was working in North Bay. I was working at an oldies radio station. The format is like, it's music for dead people. Everybody we play is dead. It's called Oldies 840. And now that radio station is dead, now that I think of it. And so I'm in my office one day, and the phone rings, and it's Mark. And Mark's calling me from Pembroke. And I used to work in Pembroke before I worked in North Bay. And I said, hey, Mark, how's it going? I haven't talked to you in a while. Oh, it's going really good. Cool. He said, yeah, I just wondered if you could do something for me. I said, sure. He said, I wondered if you could pray for me to be a Christian. I said, Mark, you are a Christian. Remember, like, I was helping with your youth group? And he said, no, I wasn't a Christian then. I was just going to youth group. I said, oh, okay. Well, I'll pray for you. So I prayed for him. And he said, amen. And then I said, why are you calling me? And he said, well, when you were leading the youth group, like, I was just sort of watching you and your family. I went, wow, he was watching me. This was, like, years ago. I hadn't even thought about the kid for a couple of years. It was kind of cool. But when he wanted to be a Christian, he thought about me. Another time I was teaching at Humber College. I was teaching the radio course because I don't know anything about anything else. So I was teaching the radio course. And there was a guy in my class named Mike Christopher. And this is a second year radio. And he was like, you knew that this guy was going to go into radio. If you met him, if you lined up all the kids in the class and you were to talk to each of them, you would know that this is the guy that's going into radio because, like, he just talked like a radio guy. He held himself that way. He knew things. He was, like, a charming guy. He had a definite gift of speaking. And so I kind of became sort of friends with him. We went out for lunch one day. We're in the car. We're driving. And I had a cassette on of Christian music. This is before the radio station started. And Mike said, hey, this music's kind of cool. What is it? And I said, it's Christian music. And he says, wow, could I borrow that cassette? Here you go. And I gave it to him. A week later, we get together for the next class, and he gives it back. And he says, that was awesome music. Do you have any more? I went, here you go. And I gave him another. It was like a mixtape that I had made at home. And so he loved it. So another time, we were sitting out in the parking lot between classes at lunchtime in the parking lot at Humber College. And he said, so you're hiring people for your radio station. The whole class knew that I was starting a Christian radio station. I was able to share it because it was a radio course. So they all knew. They were actually kind of cheering for me that the CRTC was going to approve this. And so Mike was asking me questions over time. And one day, we were sitting in the parking lot, and I led him to the Lord at Humber College. And then we got up and we went to class a couple of minutes later, and I eventually hired Mike, and he was our first DJ on Slammin' Christian Hits. His name was Mike C. Maybe some of you remember him. And he was with us for about a year and a half. And then a radio station in Toronto, Kiss 92, called him and scooped him up and took him, which is kind of figures because, see, when you work in Barrie, in your radio career, the next place you would go would probably be like Kitchener because it's a little bit bigger. And then maybe you move to Calgary and you do like not a day, an evening shift, but a daytime shift. And you kind of work your way up. And then eventually you go to Toronto and you get like, but not Mike. He went from Barrie right to Toronto and he was there for about 2 years. And then he went to Vancouver and he changed his name to Kid Carson. And so that's his radio name is Kid Carson. I don't know why people change their name. It's ridiculous. Anyway, so he's like in Vancouver, he's Kid Carson, he's like personality of the year. Like he's winning awards. It's crazy. He's this huge personality. He's like making way too much money. It's awesome. So his name is Kid Carson. Unfortunately, I haven't talked to him in quite a few years. And I think about him all the time and I email him and I text him and usually I don't hear back. I'm just thinking, and so one day I'm in my office, and Pastor Kerry Newhoff was in my office, and I was telling him this story, and he said, don't give up on Mike, don't give up on him, because when he wants to come back to the Lord, you're the guy he's going to think of, because you're the radio guy. I went, yeah, yeah, and then at that moment, I'm not exaggerating it at all, my computer went ding, and it was like retrieving email, so I just kind of glanced over, and it says Kid Carson. It's like he's emailing me for the first time in years. I've said, I can't believe it. I'm getting chills right now thinking about it. Pastor Kerry's laughing and doesn't God have a sense of humor that I'm telling the story and ding, there's the email. You never know. You never know what God's going to do next. It's so crazy. My goodness. So do you know how to lead somebody to Christ? Do you know? Do you have the words? I'm going to tell you what I do. This is actually kind of how I do it. You get into a conversation about God, and I ask them, so what do you think happens when you die? And then they tell me something that they think. And I said, is God in your life? Do you want God in your life? You do. You want God to be part of your life. Okay, cool. Well, do you believe that God sent his son Jesus, that there was a real guy named Jesus walking around like 2,000 years ago? You believe that? Okay. And do you believe that they nailed him to a cross, like he was crucified? You believe that? Because they did that back then. That's the way they got rid of people, is they nailed them to a cross. So you believe that that happened. Okay. And so you believe that, like, he died on the cross. All right. And they put him in a tomb in a cave for 3 days, and he was dead. And then he rose again. You believe that. You do. You believe that. Okay, wait a minute. So he's dead for 3 days, and then he rose from the dead, and you believe that. My goodness. All right. Then, so you believe in something supernatural. Wow. So do you want to make Jesus your Lord and your Savior? You do. All right. Well, you know, he forgives all the dumb things you did and all the dumb things that you said. He forgives you of all that. Do you accept his forgiveness? You do. So you want to put God first in your life? Boom. Let's do this. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'll pray for them. And that's kind of the process that I take. And then I tell them, after they've said this prayer, do you know that all the saints and all the angels in heaven are having like this party right now because you are now part of the kingdom of God? Do you know that? And that Satan has lost another one. That's like incredible news. I applaud there. Let's give Jesus applaud. Another one is in. Wow. So now he's your Lord and he's your Savior. And to me, those are two different things. He's your Savior because he saved you from going to hell. He is your Savior. He's got you. But he's also your Lord because you've got him. You put him in this place in your life where he's the Lord of your life. He's the most important thing of your life, in your life. That's why he's your Lord. So now as a Christian, everything you do, everything you say, all your music, all your movies, all your friends, maybe even your job, if it doesn't pass through this Christian filter, then maybe it shouldn't be going through the filter at all. That's what I think about. I think about this filter all the time and pushing stuff through the filter if it won't go through. Okay, so you're a Christian, your friend's a Christian, awesome. And so how do you live your Christian life? This one verse comes to mind. There's lots of verses that come to mind, but this is the one I picked because I think it's really appropriate these days. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be evident to all, especially on Facebook, because that's where we can say anything, enter, oops, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, why did I say, oh, it's gone out now. Oh. And we're not gentle on Facebook, and that's where people are watching us too. So when they're watching us, are we greedy? Do we share? Do we spend time with them? Do we listen to them? That's what people want us to do. That people just want somebody to listen to them. Do we pick them up when they're down? Sometimes it's good to look for a void in their life, and then we try to fill the void. I know we're not supposed to brag about good things that we do, but I can brag about how God has made me happy to bring joy to somebody else. So I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. Every year I go biking in Ottawa. There I am with my friend Andrew. Every year I go biking because if you bike around the Ottawa Canal, it's flat. There's no hills. Like, I'm not a climber, so we get to go around the canal, and I do that for 3 days, and I put on a whole bunch of miles on my bike, and I love it. And I always stay at the same place on Elgin Street, and there's a McDonald's on Elgin Street. And as I walk past it, there's always somebody sitting in front of McDonald's, and they need money, and they're hungry, and I usually walk past them. And so I got James McDonald in my head. I don't know if you remember James McDonald. He used to be on Life. James McDonald said one day, if somebody is asking you for money, then why don't you give it to them? Well, you don't, because they're going to blow it on drugs or something like that. He says, it's not your problem what they spend their money on. That's between them and God. If a child of God is asking for your help, why don't you help them? I'm on Elgin Street. I'm going past McDonald's. The guy is sitting there going, okay, I'm not going to give him money, but maybe I'll take him in. People have told me, just take them in and feed them. So I said, hey, buddy, do you want to go in for food? Yeah, okay. So we went into McDonald's. It was really packed and crowded. We got to the front of the line. He's really disheveled. I'm really nervous. I'm out of my comfort zone. And I said, so what do you want? And he says, I want the meal of the day. And I said, the guy wants the meal of the day. What is it, by the way? Oh, it's like a 89-cent hamburger. I'm like, okay, do you want something else? Do you want fries with that? Do you want a shake or a drink? He's, I just want the meal of the day. I'm like, get the guy the meal of the day so that I can go on my bicycle. Okay, we get the meal. And then I thought, we're sitting down. I should say something. What do I say? I need to say something. And I said, enjoy your food. Jesus loves you. And I started to head for the door. And he goes, yes, he does. And I went, that guy just ministered to me. It was awesome. One of the best times I got to serve, that I've had to serve God so far in my life, is an employee of mine went to jail for internet luring and luring. And it made national news. And it was a big, fat, hairy deal for a couple of months. At first, he was in the super jail in Penetang. And I went to see him once a week for about 12 weeks, I think. Like, it would take me an hour to get there, an hour to get back, an hour to sit in the waiting room. Like, half my day is gone driving to see my former employee. And so I remember going there for the first time. I'd never been in, like, a jail before. And like a really cold, sterile place. Maybe you've been to a jail. And so I went in to the visitor's room, and there's 12 metal stools, and there's 12 cubicles, and there's 12 phones. So you sit down, you pick up the phone, and you talk to the guy on the other side of the glass. It's just like on TV. And so he comes out, and he's got like a big smile on his face. He's wearing an orange jumpsuit, and I'm really emotional. And so we talk, and you've got 30 minutes. And at 25 minutes, then there's a beep in your phone. That means you've got 5 minutes left. And then there's like beep, beep, and there's 30 seconds left. And it beeps like twice. And then all of a sudden you're talking, we're talking to each other, and it's dead. And there's just like this glass. So he puts his hand up on the glass like this. So I put my hand up against the glass. It was just like being on TV. It was really emotional. And he's got a big smile on his face. I said, well, I guess like time to go. So I head for the door. As I'm at the door, I turn around. I wish I hadn't turned around. And I turn around and I look. And Jason's doing this. It's like, oh, man. So I'm in the parking lot. And I did what most people would do. I posted it on Facebook. I went to see a friend in jail. And as soon as I posted it, ding, and I look at it, and a friend has responded, and all he wrote was Matthew 25:36. That's all he said. I know what that is. So I looked it up really fast, and it's, I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And I went, that's exactly what I just did. I didn't do it because it was in the Bible. I just did it because it just felt like the right thing to do. I just kind of felt like I got it right on that day. Sometimes I'm a lousy example of Christ, and sometimes I get it right. But I'm still wondering why maybe I'm dull, or why are we so dull about leading friends to the Lord, or why we don't fill a need. People say, well, I can't lead anybody to Christ right now because, I'm not close to God. I'm in a really bad place right now, but when I'm in a better place, then I'll share my faith. Or, I'm not giving up my money to help somebody because I worked hard for my money. I'm not giving that away. They need to hear James McDonald yell at them. Or they'll say, I'm stuck in pornography. Like, I am in bondage right now. I can't share any. I don't feel credible sharing anything with anybody. Or they'll say, I'm on this diet and I'm trying to lose. Like, once I lose all this weight, then I'll be a better example. Or they'll say, I'll do it when God asks me to. He's already asked you to. It's in the Bible. It says, always be prepared. Always be prepared. Even when Satan says, you're not worth it. You're unworthy. You can't do this. He loves to tell us that. Do you know the Bible is full of weirdos that God has used for his glory? If he can use those weirdos in the Bible, then, man, he can definitely use us. The world is full of nice people. But we have the love of Christ. That makes us a lot different. They need to see not just a nice person. They need to see Jesus in us. We need to stop being dull and be astonished by our salvation. Christianity is life-changing. And if your life isn't changing, then maybe you need to ask God why. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this message. Thank you for telling us to always be prepared. And I pray you would help us to be prepared so that when we have that opportunity, we know exactly what to say and that you'll guide our words. I pray for Pastor Mike right now in Ethiopia, helping at the schools. I pray you protect him and you'd give him the words to speak, and it would just be an exciting, blessed time for him. And I pray for all these, during the announcements, I heard all these different activities that are going on. I pray you'd be leading those activities and there would be lots of people who are impacted. I know the numbers aren't important, but the more the merrier. So I pray you would guide and direct all these activities and initiatives that have come up. I also pray for Christian Radio and all the stations across Canada. And praise you, God, that the CRTC has changed their minds and allowed us to have Christian Radio in Canada because it wasn't allowed for so long. So thank you for doing that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay,
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.